What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
So sorry, and I mute myself. You're live. You've been live about 15 seconds. Oh, apologize.
Thanks, Rachel. And hello, and welcome to Awakened Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and we're on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And to give us a call, please dial 646-558-8656. And today's topic is going to be spring cleaning the body. To detox or not to detox? That is the question. So this is a hot topic, hot button topic for a lot of people. I have a lot of clients who are always asking me about the latest crazy detox that's out there, whether or not they should do it. And then I've had patients come in as new clients, having done them, to their detriment sometimes. So it's a big question, right? And today we're going to tackle it. So it's springtime, right? It's a time of renewal. It's a time of restoration, regeneration. So the question is, well, how do we do that with the human body, right? The human body has all of its detoxification mechanisms already in place. And technically, there's nothing we should have to do. But unfortunately, we live on planet Earth in the 21st century, and it has been poisoned, we'll say. So the human body finds itself in a foreign environment. And people kind of scratch their heads and look at me when I say that, because when we look up at the sky, it still looks nice and blue, and this, the fluffy white clouds are still there. When we look at the soil, it still looks brown. When we look at water, it still looks clear. And so people really have a tough time reconciling the fact that the actual atmosphere of the planet and the soil has been poisoned. Poisoned with chemicals, toxins, garbage over the last mostly 200 years since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. Because these things are small, right? When we look at toxins, we have to look with particular instruments to find them. Our naked eyes will not see the toxins in the atmosphere, but the latest count estimates that there are 80,000 chemicals in the atmosphere. That's an 8 with 4 zeros after it. 80,000 chemicals. They're invisible. We can't see them. But we have to remember one really important thing is once we inhale them or take them in with food or allow them to absorb through our skin, they become very big to our bodies. And so when we look at how our bodies function, we begin to understand why toxins are so dangerous and why they have left a trail of destruction over the last 200 years in terms of the crazy new diseases that we're discovering that people never had before, in terms of just the bizarre nature of people's symptoms that we can't explain why they have certain symptoms. They're mysterious, and we come up with all kinds of fancy names for them. For example, autism. Autism is a brand new disease. You will not find a historical reference to autism. You will not find a historical reference for allergic rhinitis. You will not find Alzheimer's dementia in the literature. You won't really find anything that sounds like those things either. They're new diseases. You won't find autoimmune disorders in, you know, the historical data. You won't find anything etched on caves. You won't find anything, any reference of these types of diseases because they just sprung up out of nowhere in the last 200 years. And when the human lifespan is short, you know, only 70 or 80 years, you know, we think of 200 years as a long time, but it's not, right? It's a very short period of time in the history of humanity. And so to have 80,000 chemicals suddenly appear in the atmosphere in the span of 200 years has posed a tremendous challenge to the body. So once we inhale, let them in through our skin or eat them, what happens is inside of our bodies, those things get assimilated inside the cells. So they flow in. And just like your food and your oxygen can get into the body and eventually into cells, so do toxins. And your cells are super, super tiny. So you can't see a cell with your naked eye. You can only see cells when they're all bunched up together into like a million cells, then you might be able to see it. You know, so if you have a little mole on your cheek, that might be a few million cells piled together and you can actually see it with your eyes. Most cells, you just can't see them. In fact, no cells can you see with the naked eye. We have to look at them under microscopes and use other types of equipment. So when you've got a teeny tiny little cell and you have toxins going into that teeny tiny little cell, you know, suddenly these toxins look like these gigantic monsters to the machinery that's inside the cell. And it poses a lot of problems. And so the question becomes, well, how do I get rid of this stuff? And why is my body not doing it, right? The simple question that people can ask themselves to know whether or not something is safe is to simply ask, is it natural or unnatural? If it is unnatural, then you have your answer. It is unsafe. You may not feel it right away, you know, and that's been part of the issue too, as to why we don't recognize the impact of toxins is because they don't happen immediately. It takes years for these things to happen. So you might be getting exposed to, say, mercury or aluminum, but you will not feel it. You will not, you know, you won't see it. You won't sense it until you have a disease, right? Or until you feel tired or you have trouble focusing or things like that. And then there won't be any physical findings. Your CAT scan will still look normal. Your blood work will still look normal. So we don't relate the symptoms to the toxins because there's such an extended period of time between when we're exposed and when it has its impact. And also, one exposure is usually not terribly bad. It's the continuous exposure. And then it's the exposure to a bunch of different toxins. And it just starts to add up and accumulate over time to the point where it burdens the body to such an extent that it can't function properly. When your body can't function properly, it will send you signals. We call that in the medical community symptoms. So fatigue, for example, is one of the earliest symptoms that people have is I'm tired. You know, I can't get through my day. Or I wake up and I feel like I never went to sleep. Or I have to take a nap at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever the story is. I can't work out. I'm too tired. I can't play with my kids. I'm too tired. I'm too achy and I'm too tired. You know, but being tired is one of the earliest signs that something's wrong. And your body sends that signal on purpose. It wants you to know something's wrong. Fix me. Right. So the body doesn't just make up stuff because it's malfunctioning. It's very smart. And even when it's malfunctioning, it's actually functioning perfectly. It's simply functioning with whatever tools it has available. So your body will always send symptoms and signals and messages to you to let you know it's struggling. whether it's an ache and pain in your shoulder, whether it's difficulty focusing, whether it's trouble with memory, whether it's being tired, your body knows exactly what it's doing when it sends that signal out. And it will keep sending it out until it gets what it needs, right? And so sometimes what we need to do is detox. So sometimes we need to just get that garbage out. And therein lies the problem, right? Because it's a very tricky thing to get toxins out of the body. So going back to things that are unsafe, that are artificial, the reason you know that artificial or synthetic products are dangerous is because your body has no built-in way to get rid of those things. Because when the human body evolved or was created, or however, you know, whatever your belief system tells you, whether it was evolution or creation, when we showed up, you know, 200,000 years ago from our ancestors from millions of years ago, there weren't 80,000 chemicals in the atmosphere. So we were not designed to deal with these chemicals. And so people tend to get confused and think, well, my body is going to evolve and it's going to figure it out. No, it won't. You know, our bodies do not actually evolve in one lifetime. It's impossible. Evolution takes multiple reproductions to occur. Evolution takes multiple lifespans to occur. Now, we can adapt, we can make do, but that is not evolution. Adaptation is we're plugging in some holes and gaps trying to get by. Evolution is we have changed our genetic structure to accommodate this thing. You know, so they're two very, very different concepts, and the body will adapt to toxins, but it will not evolve mechanisms to deal with them and maintain its health for potentially hundreds or thousands of years. And so as the body adapts, what it's doing is trying to make two wrongs equal a right. And so this is why we don't feel that we've been poisoned, you know, until we get really sick and then we have an actual disease, whether it's diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia. For small children, it could be autism or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It can be autoimmune diseases. These are all impacts of toxins burdening the body and the body no longer being able to adapt. It can no longer make do. And then it just starts to fall apart, right? And so how do we know what to do and how to do it? Because once we try and take over a body function that our bodies can no longer perform, we have to do it very, very carefully. You know, anything that we do, whether it's hormone replacement therapy, supplements, anything that we do where we're trying to take over a body function that has broken and try to restore it, we have to do it as closely as possible to what the body would do if it could, right? And so detoxification is very tricky. People think, well, let me just run out and buy some cleanse and I'll do this cleanse and I'll be fine. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work. And that can actually do you harm depending on your constitution. So we're going to talk about that today. How do you determine, A, if you're toxic, B, what type of toxicity you have, and C, how to approach it so that your body can rid itself of those toxins safely without damaging itself. So there's a way that you can actually damage yourself by trying to do detoxes because your body is not equipped to handle the harsh nature of those detoxes. So this is why when we look things up online, we get such mixed reviews, right? One person will say, oh, this cleanse was the best thing ever. Someone else will say, it's horrible. I had 10,000 side effects. Someone else will say, it did nothing for me. You know, it's not that the cleanse itself is the problem. It's you have to match yourself up to the right techniques. You have to match yourself up to the right product. And if you don't know how you fit that product or if that product fits you, you can't you can't expect to have good results. And so part of what we do is we evaluate people and let them know like how to detox, how to cleanse. I think we have a question here. Yes, we do. Bear with me here. My phone's asking me to identify myself. Okay. Question, my friend says, I need to go barefoot to ground myself. Sounds silly to me. Is there any truth in doing this? She says it detoxes my body. It's not a direct detox, but it's what we call grounding or earthing. The quick answer is the planet itself is like a gigantic battery. And it has electrons flowing in it. So if we look at electricity, it's the movement of the electrons which causes the electricity to flow. And so this is how batteries work. And so the human body is basically a bag of water with electricity flowing through it. And so we also have electrons in us. And there's some good scientific data coming out in particular, not in medical journals, but in science journals, to show that the flow of electrons through the body is critical. We need electrons to survive. And what happened when we were trying to protect ourselves from lightning strikes, which is way more electrons than we would ever want, we started wearing rubber shoes. We started wearing insulated footwear to protect ourselves so that, you know, if lightning struck nearby, we wouldn't, you know, zap ourselves out of existence. And so the problem with that is, yes, it saved us from lightning strikes, which are astoundingly rare, right? But what it did was it caused us to become ungrounded from the planet. So now we don't have the electrons coming into our feet. So basically we are in a circuit with the planet. We are part of the environment. Like no matter how we slice the pie, no matter what angle we look from, we are part of the Earth's environment. We cannot separate ourselves from it. So when we wear rubber shoes or we have artificial flooring where the circuit is broken, we don't get enough electrons in the body. And when we don't get enough electrons in the body, the electricity is not there to flow. And when the electricity is not flowing, we get sick. And so grounding is important. In fact, I have a grounding pad that I put on my bed, and it's just basically pumping electrons into the body as you sleep. So there is good science behind it. Again, you will not find this in medical journals. Your physician will not be talking to you about this. In fact, they will probably think it's insanity. But if you look at physics, if you look at science, the human body is simply, you know, a bag of water with a current flowing through it. And you have to keep the current circulating. And that's what grounding does. It's not going to have an immediate impact. It simply helps to restore the body. It helps the body to start putting the dominoes back up, if you will. So I have some people who have dramatic improvement. Like I have clients who have difficulty sleeping and they buy a grounding pad and suddenly they're sleeping. You know, for me, things have a more subtle impact for me. So it wasn't this big sledgehammer moment, but it did help me overall. You know, I measure my own energy with different devices that I have and I can see the difference. And so that's grounding. And I don't know that it detoxes per se, but it helps to restore some of the body's innate functions that would allow it to detox better. So I hope that answers your question. And you can't really hurt yourself grounding, you know, so it's not something where, you know, you have to have some type of medical expertise to do. You literally go outside and you walk barefoot on the grass or on the beach. It has to be a natural earth surface on soil, you know, and we're supposed to be grounded all the time. So walking on the beach for 20 minutes is not going to be, you know, a big, huge thing, but it's better than nothing. And then if you have natural flooring in your house, you know, walking barefoot if you can would help. So great question. Let's see. Question, my husband likes desserts. Many times we stop at the ice cream shop on the way to the grocery store. He says it saves money. We buy less when we're full. Problem is I feel bad the next day and sometimes that same night. I think the sugar is causing my joints to hurt. He says it's my imagination. Do too many sweets cause body aches? Okay. Probably with the ice cream, it's probably the dairy. It could also be the cold nature of the ice cream. So again, if you have a low body temperature, ice cream's not your friend, right? Because it lowers it even more. So if you think about it, you're having something that's what, 32 degrees, and you're putting it into a 98.6 body. So if you don't have good temperature regulation, if your base body temperature is already too low, let's say you're 97.6 or something, then that's telling you it's very difficult for your body to regulate its temperature. And so when you have things that are extremely cold in an already cold body, you will have inflammation. And coldness itself causes pain because coldness slows circulation down. So your body is no different than the planet. It's just your body's much more sensitive than the planet. The planet's big and huge, and it has better mechanisms to correct itself and balance itself than the body does because the body is smaller. And so just like in nature, if you take the temperature low enough, things start to freeze, right? People sleep more, animals sleep more, there's less activity, trees lose their leaves, things freeze, water starts to freeze, it no longer moves, it slows down and then it stops moving. So your body's no different. When you take your body temperature down even 1 degree, things really start to slow down. And when things can't flow properly, when the circuit's not flowing properly, things hurt. And so it could either be the coldness of the ice cream, it could be the sugar, and then it can also be, the dairy. So if you are cold in particular, dairy is not a good match, not your friend. And so you'd want warmer things, like maybe stopping for a chai latte or something with almond milk on the way to the grocery store. But that's what I would recommend. And those are some thoughts. So if you put a heating pad on whatever hurts and it feels better, that's going to tell you to some extent that it's that you're too cold and you're going to want to eat more warming foods, things that are better cooked, warmer, maybe even a little spicy. So I hope that helps. And that should at least get you somewhere. I think we have our commercial break coming up.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Awakened Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe. Thank you for listening and watching. And we will be right back after this commercial.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, "Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network." For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Milen Riobe. I am the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine here in Jupiter, Florida. And I have over 20 years of experience. I am a double board certified medical doctor in the fields of OBGYN and the exciting new field of integrative medicine, which is a holistic field of medicine. And I'm also an author. I've written the book Faith, which is my latest offering. And it is available on Amazon. If you want to ever dive a little deeper into what we're talking about here, you can find it in that book. So how do you know if you're toxic, right? What are some of the signs or the symptoms that your body will display to you, right? So one of the general ones is fatigue. If you're tired, you know, that's a general sign of some level of toxicity. It's not always toxicity though. So you have to know a little bit more than just I'm tired, right? So the next question is, okay, you're tired, but do you feel better when you move around? Like, does going to the gym make you feel better? Does going for a walk around the neighborhood make you feel better? Or do you actually feel more tired after you do those things? If those things make you feel better, that's usually a sign that there are some toxins and that there's inflammation obstructing the flow of energy through the body. If you're more tired after you're active, you go and you work out and then you're exhausted the next day and you can't function, that's a sign that your tiredness or your fatigue is from being depleted. And that's very important to know. In fact, it's critical to know for detoxification. So if you're depleted, in other words, if you're missing a bunch of things in the body, vitamins, minerals, perhaps you have hormone depletions, you have antioxidant depletions in the body, you're going to be more tired with activity. You know, like I feel better when I rest. If I go take a nap, I feel better. I feel better when I wake up in the morning and then I get more tired as the day goes by. And in fact, I have to take a nap in the afternoon and I can't work out because when I work out, I feel worse. Those are all signs and symptoms of depletion. Those people should not do cleanses. They need to be built up first. So they are toxic, but not because they need to be detoxed. They are toxic because they're missing all of the tools in the body that their body itself would use to detox itself. That's different. You do not want to do cleanses under those circumstances. You don't want to do the coffee enemas. You don't want to do the store-bought cleanses, a bunch of greens drinks and things like that, because you will actually make yourself worse. People feel better right after they do those things because they got the toxins out. The danger, though, is the way you got the toxins out caused your body to become even more depleted because it's too stressful for your body. And so what happens is the body becomes even more depleted, even though the detox removed toxins, and now you're even more depleted. And so what happens when you're even more depleted is you still can't detox yourself. And so now the toxins just build right back up again, and those people start feeling poorly again after a month or two of having done the cleanse. That's because cleansing is not the avenue. Those people need to be tested for what their vitamin deficiencies are, et cetera, to see if, again, they have a gastrointestinal issue. Whatever the case is, whatever is causing the things to be missing from the body that the body would use to clean itself out need to be replaced, you know, with food, proper sleep, et cetera. And then the body will start to detox itself because it'll do it if it can, right? So those people, we generally say, do not do cleanses. They will actually make you worse. So those are the people you'll read the reviews and they'll say, you know, this had so many side effects. It was awful. It was the worst experience. Those people are depleted and they should not be doing cleanses at all. So now going to the other group of people, those people, yeah, I'm tired, but I feel better when I exercise. I'm energized when I go for a run or when I go to the gym, I actually feel better. And if I don't work out, I feel bad. Those people are better off doing those cleanses. Now, again, you want to be careful with what cleanse you choose. You don't want things that are too harsh or dangerous. You want to be very cautious about the ingredients of those cleanses. Are they natural? You know, in particular, you want to look at the fillers that are in those cleanses and how they are sourced. So you don't want to put a bunch of unnatural things in your body trying to cleanse it of unnatural things, you know, so that defeats the purpose. And so you want to use things that are very clean, organic, preferably, you know, natural. You can look up some recipes and do different types of cleanses. But again, you don't ever want to do anything that's too harsh. And really, if you're truly toxic and if you're definitely if you're on any medications, if you have any diagnosed diseases, you have to cleanse under the supervision of a medical doctor who is well versed in what you're trying to achieve. So this is not something to be done on your own if you're on any prescription medications or have any diagnosed conditions. You know, I do not advise doing any cleanses under those circumstances without proper supervision. The other thing that people need to know clearly is what type of toxins do I have, right? There are certain types of toxins that cleanses cannot remove from your body, and you have to do other things specifically to get rid of those particular types of toxins. So heavy metals in particular will not respond to general cleanses. Those take level of expertise to know exactly how to get them out of the body. So again, not something to be done on your own. The best way to figure out, well, do I have heavy metals in my body and is that what's causing my toxicity, is to be tested. And so the gold standard, although there is no test that's ideal, the gold standard is a urine test. Because heavy metals are removed from the body through the urine. The problem is they are not what we call water soluble typically. So they tend to hide in fatty tissue. So you won't capture a lot leaving the body in the urine. And so you have to interpret the test results very specifically. You can use something. So a doctor can prescribe something that you would take that would force the heavy metals out of the body. And then you can capture them in the urine and know that they're present. So we call that provocation. So give you something that mobilizes those heavy metals, digs them up from wherever they're buried, and then we can catch them in your urine and measure them and identify them and know exactly, you know, what metals we're dealing with. So you can measure, of course, mercury levels, lead, aluminum, antimony, cadmium from cigarette smoke. You can measure platinum from jewelry, nickel. You can measure gadolinium from MRI scans. There are about 20, 22, 25 different heavy metals. And we find quite a few at the office in our clients. We can tell that they're toxic through a tongue and pulse assessment and then do the appropriate testing. But if you have heavy metals, a general cleanse will not get rid of those. You have to be under, again, the supervision of an integrative medical doctor who is well-versed in doing the testing, because interpreting the tests is tricky. And then understanding how to actually remove the metals from the body is tricky. And then timing the repeated testing is also a little bit tricky. So you have to distinguish if you want to cleanse the body, do I have heavy metals or not? If you don't have heavy metals, then your garden variety cleanses will be fine. If you have heavy metals, you will not be able to get rid of them through those, you know, usual channels, if you will. I think we have more questions. Almost time for another commercial, so I'll keep my eye on that. Any suggestions about detoxing my home? I just moved into a new home. It was extra dirty. Okay. I've not slept well. Tired during the day. Started when I moved in. That's a loaded question, right? It could be anything from mold, the air conditioning filters. It could be a lot of things. So mold would be one of the things to investigate. AC filters, you know, make sure those are fresh and changed. The energy of the house, right? You might want to sage the home to get any energy out, clear that energy, and then set an intention for the new energy for the home. And you also want to be mindful of electromagnetic fields. So make sure there are no high power lines nearby. Make sure that the electricity is not, dirty, as they say, and you're not creating electromagnetic fields that are abnormal through the circuitry of the home. What do they call those? The power meters outside the home, the smart meters. You want to make sure that you dampen those signals. You can buy things, like I have a little thing on my phone here. And it's basically an EMF blocker. And so you can buy a meter. I use what's called the tri-field meter. It seems to be, according to medical studies or scientific studies, the better meter to use for measuring. And you can walk all around your house and measure the electromagnetic fields and the radio frequency fields, and you can see where they're too high. And then you can buy these EMF blockers and install them. So some of them you plug into your outlets, some of them you slap on the smart meter, you put them on your laptops, any source of EMF that you can find in the house, you dampen them. And if you've done it correctly, what should happen is when you go back with your meter, the reading should go down into safe you know, level. So that's how you know that the devices work, and that you have sufficiently reduced the EMF in the house. So I hope that helps. I know that's a lot of information. We probably should take our next commercial break. The hour just flies by. So you are listening to Awakened Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and we'll be right back after this next commercial.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Cat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back. You see, we got a question from YouTube. Did you see that, Doc?
Is it on my phone?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, CQ asks, is a 16 to 17 hour fast good to cleanse and regenerate the body? It depends. It always depends, right? So if you are someone in that first category, right, where we talked about someone who's tired, who feels okay when they wake up, they're tired, but they get more tired as the day goes by, or they get more tired if they work out, or feel worse if they work out, those people will not do well with intermittent fasting. The people in the second category, you know, I feel better when I work out. If I sit still, I feel horrible. When I move, I feel better. You know, those people could potentially benefit from intermittent fasting more. You know, I'm not a huge health fad advocate, you know, everything has its place. And, you know, intermittent fasting is just not going to resolve everybody's problems. And in fact, it could cause some harm to some people. We just don't have enough long-term data to show that yet. But if you just follow, you know, the idea that when we're supposed to be assimilating nutrients at 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, if we're not eating, there are no nutrients to assimilate. And so when we need to restore ourselves at night, if we have eaten a bunch of food just before that time frame, there's no time for that to have been properly assimilated for the body to restore itself. And so I don't know, I just don't feel that intermittent fasting is the cure-all that it's purported to be. And people who are depleted, in a depleted state, who have a lot of vitamin deficiencies or are just generally tired with activity or more tired as the day goes on, they have to take naps and then their naps help them to feel better. Those people are depleted and they will not do well with intermittent fasting. Those people would do better with actually grazing or eating small, frequent meals. So the bottom line is your body knows how to detox itself. So if you're toxic, or if anyone is toxic, the only reason they can be toxic is if the body's own mechanisms are not working. And there's generally only two reasons why your body's own mechanisms would not work. One would be it's missing the things it would need to use to have the proper function, or two, something is blocking its path. So when we talk about heavy metals and 80,000 chemicals, those things block the path. Whereas when we're talking about vitamin and mineral deficiencies or malabsorption in the gastrointestinal system, where you're not absorbing your food properly, that stuff's missing. And when you're in the stuff's missing category, you don't want to drain yourself more. So when you fast, you're draining yourself because you're not providing, you know, the nutrients when they're needed. So I understand that, you know, you can eat in those 8 hours and so you can go ahead and make up for the calories, but that is not the time when our bodies naturally assimilate and digest. And so it's not going to be optimal. So in Chinese medicine, there's this premise that you should eat like a king at breakfast time. So eat breakfast like a king. And then they say lunch like a queen, I think, and then dinner like a pauper. They understand the body's energetic function and physiology extremely well. They know that most of your nutrients are assimilated in the morning because you need them to do all your work during the day, right? And then when you're slowing down in the afternoon, getting ready to go to bed, you don't need as much food. So your body is not really equipped to be assimilating and digesting nutrients at that time. So that's why I think eventually, as more long-term studies are done on intermittent fasting, we'll find that it's not beneficial for some people. So I hope that answers your question. Yes, it can be used as a means of cleansing the body out. But if you're depleted, it's not something to do on any type of consistent or regular basis. But can it help to do it periodically? Probably. But if you start feeling, you know, drained and dizzy, et cetera, I wouldn't push it, right? So people say, well, yeah, if you can get through the first 5 days of the symptoms that people have when they start to fast, then it's fine. But the reason you have symptoms at all is because it's not fine. Right? So your body doesn't like to have symptoms. It's going to make two wrongs equal a right to get the symptom to go away if it can, especially if the symptom is distressful and it prevents it from doing other things that are more important. And so your body's really, really smart. And learning to really listen to it is like the secret of good health. The reason people feel better after a few days is because your body has dropped its metabolism to accommodate the fact that you're not eating when you're supposed to. And again, that's two wrongs to make a right. You don't ever want your body to drop its metabolism. So people will say, well, I felt really hungry and then I just stopped feeling hungry. And that was great. But no, that wasn't great. That's because your body just kind of dropped its metabolism. And so what happens when your body does that is it starts shutting off certain functions that it can't do because you're not taking in the calories for it to do it. And so it burns less and less energy, if that makes sense. So it's not necessarily a good thing. But if when you eat, you don't feel well, right? And you're that person that if you work out, you feel better, then that might help to do it for a specified period of time so that you allow the gut to kind of rest and to get that stuff out, you know? And there was a question that came in about coffee enemas and such, but I think there are less harsh cleanses that are good GI cleanses that people can do. Even the simple act of taking digestive enzymes is detoxifying. We have a lot of people in our practice who need enzymes and they don't know that they need enzymes, but we test for that. And then we find out that they need enzyme support. And just that sometimes will help the body to get, you know, toxins out, because you'll be able to better digest your food, take the food in and absorb it, and then your body will have the tools to detox itself more. So it's kind of, you know, tricky business. That's why I wanted to have this particular podcast, to give people a general sense of which camp they're in, you know, to detox or not to detox. And if you're in the not to detox camp because you're depleted, that doesn't mean you don't do something to restore your body's own function of detoxification. You should. So what does that entail? That entails making sure you don't have a gut issue, making sure you're actually absorbing. So many people do not absorb their food and they don't know it. And that doesn't mean that you don't absorb any food, right? They're not wasting away or anything like that. In fact, some of them are gaining weight and they don't know why. The reason is because your body keeps dropping its metabolism to accommodate the fact that it can't get calories. And your body is really, really smart. It's going to say, oh, I better drop my metabolism to get ahead of this starvation game or I'm going to die, right? So it drops your metabolism even lower than where it has to drop it because it's anticipating more starvation. And so you actually gain weight when that happens, because now you're eating a certain number of calories and your body has dropped its metabolism far below where it's going to burn those calories. And so the only thing that can happen under those circumstances is you gain weight. So the key is really to raise metabolism the right way, not by cheating, right? Not with Red Bull and energy drinks and all of those things, but, you know, grounding is one way. We talked about that earlier. Infrared saunas are a great way. So you're stealing energy from outside sources. In other words, so the sun, you know, is a huge source of energy for the human body at dawn and dusk in particular. So infrared saunas mimic those light waves, you know, from the light panels. So you get those same light waves as the sun would give you if you were out at dawn and dusk. And so you're taking energy into the body. So we call that restorative breathing, right? Heart math breathing in particular. So you're taking oxygen into the body that raises metabolism. Drinking water, right? We had a question about plastic and water and tap water. We had so many questions. I don't think I'm going to be able to get through them. So I just want to make sure I at least touch on as many as I can remember. But yeah, definitely don't want to use plastic for your water. So what I do is I buy kombucha and I just reuse the glass. You know, so I don't buy bottled water, but what I personally do is I get an ionization filter. So ionized water or living water. The University of Washington, Washington State, Dr. Pollack is doing some really outstanding research on ionized or living structured water. Dr. Emoto had done some experiments as well. That was his life mission. He passed away a few years back, but you can get filters that will ionize your water. And what ionizing is electrons. And so we talked about that with grounding. It's getting electrons in the body. So this puts more electrons in your water so that you can drink it. So I'll get a pitcher and I'll get the ionization filter. I'll pour my tap water through there and then I'll store it in glass. So that was a great question. I'm sorry, I won't even be able to get to them all, but So these are things, if you're depleted, that will be helpful. The other thing I always tell people about water is room temperature, no ice water. According to traditional Chinese medicine, ice water just stunts your digestion. So you will not make your enzymes to digest your food if your stomach is too cold. Your stomach needs to be 100 degrees, right? And that's why it's always making hydrochloric acid to heat up the stomach. And so when we take antacids and things like that, we drop the stomach acid too low, you can't digest your food. And then we get this relative malabsorption from the antacid. And those people become even more depleted than where they began, right? And many people who have to take antacids because of heartburn have an infection in their small intestine. And that's what's causing this feeling of more acidity because of the toxins that those bugs are producing. It's not that your stomach's making too much acid, it's that you have an infection that is producing acidity and you get this heartburn sensation. And so if you have heartburn, before you go on an antacid, you wanna be checked out and make sure that if you have a small intestine infection, that you treat it. So that way the heartburn goes away. You don't have to take an antacid and you haven't destroyed your body's ability to make enzymes and absorb food. So we had one more. Oh, CQ says very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Glad I could help you. Let's see what other ones can we do really quickly here. Got a couple of minutes. Should I move to Florida? You talk about eating warming food, so a hot climate would be healthy. It depends, right? So yeah, I mean, you could do it with food. You don't have to move unless you really like Florida. We do have a lot of sunshine. But no, you can do it from wherever you are. You can just keep the temperature of your home a little bit warmer. Again, warm water instead of room temperature, definitely not cold water. It's not going to be helpful to put lemon in your water or cucumbers in your water because those make you colder. So little tips like that, you might want to put some cinnamon in your water, right? Or spice up your food with turmeric and ginger and cinnamon, or even eat ginger. That warms up the system. So that's why, you know, people will eat ginger to help their digestion. And so those are some things you can do, you know, just to be warm wherever you are. Or you can get a portable infrared sauna. You don't have to go to a place where they do saunas or have a gigantic one built into your home. They have smaller portable ones that are reliable that you can use on a, you know, on a daily basis, really. There is some really good research on infrared saunas. Now, if you're too hot, you don't want to do infrared saunas because it's hot. And so you have to kind of know, am I hot? Am I cold? And is the thing I'm about to do going to make me hotter or colder, right? So if you're going to go frolic in the snow and your shorts and a t-shirt and you're too cold, that you'll be very achy the next morning, right? But if you're 99 degrees, you know, as your baseline and you go frolic in the snow, you won't feel a thing the next day, right? That's why some people can do these crazy ice baths that I could never do because my temperature is fairly normal, but it's a tiny bit on the low side. So I have a tendency to get cold. So I know if I'm going out in the cold, I have to bundle up a little more than the average person. You know I may need to put heat on things more, you know, we went skiing, you know, and I could tell that I was getting too cold. So I put heating pads on. So these are some of the things that I hope I helped you figure out today so that you know just how to keep the body up and running and cleansing on its own. If you want more help, we're always here to help at info@ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. Thank you so much for listening. We're out of time. We'll see you next time. And until then, many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.